Meanwhile, questions have also been raised over whether Washington's pledge not to commit any boots on the ground in Syria and Iraq will be kept. Pentagon officials indicated they may make recommendations to send troops to the Middle East to fight Islamic State forces, while former British Prime Minister Tony Blair said that the deployment of ground forces shouldn't be ruled out. Defence analyst Anthony Tucker-Jones believes the many complexities that come with fighting ISIS have made it difficult to understand the American strategy in the Middle East.
At this stage of the game, it's quite difficult to gauge actually what Washington's long-term goal is. Obviously, over the last few weeks, we have seen a steady escalation in the airstrikes, both in Iraq and in Syria. And indeed, in terms of Syria, this may be a game changer. The problem, of course, that the Americans and their allies have in trying to contain the militants in the Middle East is that by just conducting airstrikes in Iraq, of course, they have the ability to withdraw to safe havens in Syria, thereby nullifying any air campaign in Iraq. So, in a way, these airstrikes have really been forced on Washington, because if they don't, then obviously ISIS and its affiliates can carry on operating with impunity, you know, just to the north of the Iraqi border.
Although there has been cooperation with government forces in Iraq, the US has declared they won't negotiate with Bashar al-Assad's government amid reports chemical weapons were used on Syrian civilian populations during uprisings against the government. However, Mr. Tucker-Jones says the rise of the Islamic State may force the US into some form of indirect cooperation with the Syrian government.
As the rebels have taken on a much more overt jihadist complexion, the West now sees them as a greater threat than the Assadi regime. So in terms of siding with Assad, of course, it's kind of better the devil you know than you don't. I understand there are...
And hello. If you've just joined us, please stay tuned for our regularly scheduled program of Indigenous Talk Radio with the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
Find us on the web, ang-newswire.blogspot.com.
I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news or not, but lately the police have been killing people left and right. I mean, they've been on a killing spree. A young man by the name of John Crawford, he was in the Walmart. He picked up a BB gun in the Walmart. Somebody called the police, said a man was in there with a gun. The police came in and shot the man. He had the BB gun that he picked up right there in the store. Eric Garner, he was on the streets of New York and just broke up a fight. Police come, say he'd been selling loose cigarettes, jumped him, choked him out, and beat him and choked him on the ground until the man died. The man kept saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." It choked him until they killed him. And Mike Brown, a young teen coming from the store, some kind of way the police ended up shooting him 10 times. And Mike was getting ready to go to college, about to start college. And instead of going to college, he laying on the streets of Missouri, dead in the hot sun. They wouldn't even get the body up. Instead, they went and got a whole bunch of police to come to interrogate the neighborhood because the neighborhood was upset. So they went and got the dogs and the police. It looked like 1960. It's a shame. What's going on, America?
Angry Indian Radio. You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Stand up and fight.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
This is Indian land! Indian land!
Indian land!
Indian land!
You guys have no jurisdiction here.
Indian land!
listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know? Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for the smart of the region.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
For somebody with a Hussein name, we ain't ready for a Muslim president.
And then,
I'm just not ready to vote for one of those people for president. I don't think the country's ready.
No, believe me, I know. And then, of course, there was the 2012 presidential election when Barack Obama was beaten in several counties in the West Virginia primary by a felon who was incarcerated in the state of Texas. Not kidding. And so now in 2014, lo and behold, Shelley Moore Capito and Evan Jenkins and some dude from Maryland named Mooney are bringing in, no, really, because he has so much in common with working West Virginians, Bishop Willard Romney, to talk about how if only we'll send Republicans to the Senate and the House, that West Virginia will have prosperity and they'll be able to stop Obama's war on coal. I kid thee not. We're bringing Willard here. Yeah, I'll have one of those beans and a cornbread if you don't.
Mittens? They rolled out mittens?
Yeah, they're rolling out Willard, the bishop. Flying all the way in from Kolob, baby.
Internet radio for smart of
the original.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Transmitting to the people of the fourth world from within occupied North America. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Welcome along. Salatan and peace to all original human beings resident on the physical plane. You have tuned in to Indigenous news, thought, and analyses concerning issues that matter to original peoples and other communities across the world living under colonial, imperial, theological, racialist, homophobic, misogynist, neoclassist, neoliberal, neoliteral, neo-fascist, anti-nature oppression. I'm your host, Angry Indian, editor-in-chief of the Aboriginal Press News Service, blogging to the fourth world from aboriginalnewswire.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com and our main news portal, ang-newswire.blogspot.com. And along with my executive producer and studio engineer, Ms. Guadalupe Morales, we welcome you to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. okay, you know, where do I fucking begin? I mean, where the fuck do you start with this shit? You know, I mean, what's going on in Ferguson is just so goddamn out of pocket. I don't know what the fuck to say. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, you got Tom Jackson, is that his name, Luke? Tom Jackson? Well, Chief Jackson, right? He lies about everything. From the fucking beginning, from the jump, he lies about every fucking thing. He doesn't tell the truth about any fucking thing. So, okay, he somehow manages to keep his goddamn job. And, you know, Darren Wilson, you know, who was eventually, you know, outed as the officer who blasted this man, fired 11 shots, got him, what, 8? One autopsy says 8, you know, shots. Or 6 shots, but, you know, he was executed. I just don't know what the fuck to think. I really don't. You know, at this point, you know, what is, you know, I mean, what is the fucking response? You know, here it is, another goddamn black man. And, you know, what did we read, Luke? Yeah, like 23 people were shot this month. I don't remember what the racial breakdown was. But, you know, the police are completely fucking out of goddamn control. Like, you know, and anyone who doubts that, anyone who wants to argue against that, you know, first off, is a racist son of a bitch. You know, I mean, that's just the fucking first thing. You know, and the second goddamn thing is, you know, they're so beholden to authority that it's unreal. And they really need to fucking read George Orwell. You know, whether it's 1984 or Animal Farm, right? Or what he was talking, you know, in terms of what was happening with Stalin. Or, you know, I know it's a real push to get a lot of people to look at this, because, you know, a lot of fucking libertarians that think they're smart, like, you know, Ron and Rand Paul, you know, they think they're so fucking smart. You know, all of these goddamn paleo conservatives think they're so fucking intelligent. You know, when they continue to push bullshit. I mean, I'm not a fan of Senator John McCain. I mean, Arizona, as far as I'm concerned, is a goddamn crazy state that's, you know, I mean, Joe Arpaio is just part of that bullshit. I mean, the fact that they fucking hired Steven Seagal, you know, I mean, you know, he's a martial artist. You cannot, you know, take that from him. You know, from what everything I've ever seen, you know, he is legitimate as far as that shit goes. But, you know, people who really were in the CIA said that this motherfucker who claims to have been in the CIA or to have worked for the CIA in Tibet, no goddamn less. You know, I mean, one particular article I found said that this son of a bitch doesn't even know how to use a compass. So, scratch that bullshit right there, okay? You know, let's not even fucking... A compass? Let's not even fucking talk about Steven Seagal any goddamn more. I mean, you know, they're still clowning, you know, some of the, no, the folks where I get coffee in the morning. They're still on, The Worm. You know, Dennis Rodman. For, being cool with the cat that's running, North Korea. I mean, you know, the fucking dictator in North Korea right now. I mean, what the fuck else was he gonna do? You know, his father was the fucking previous dictator. What the fuck did he think he was going to do? You're talking about somebody who was born and raised not just in a walled off fucking society, right? You know, a country that has no relations virtually with any fucking buddy else except China, I suppose. You know, I mean, what the fuck did he expect? When I say he, I'm talking about the, you know, Uncle Sam. I'm not even talking about the United States in particular. I'm just talking about white people. You know, that this monolith paradigm. You know that what white people in North America think, feel, fear, get excited about, get turned on by, get turned off by, right? that's what it is for everybody. That, you know, feminism in Vancouver or feminism in Raleigh, Carolina, you know, it's the same in, you know, Egypt. It's the same in Occupy Palestine. That is the same in Accra, right? That is the same in Belize. That is the same in, you know, any goddamn where. La Paz. You know, I mean, you know, what the fuck is this, man? You know, really, what is this? That, you know, we're all stuck in this fucking paradigm. I mean, this is why Ferguson was allowed to go on. And I'm seeing here through the Twitters that, there was an officer shot, not killed, by the way, but shot in the arm. And whoever shot him ran into the woods. So I suppose they have woods over there in Ferguson, Missouri. You know, I don't know too many hoods that have woods in them. You know, nowhere I was born and raised or lived, you know, in terms of the black community, in terms of the hoods, right? When you talk about hood, okay, when you want to talk about urban hood, urban black experience, woods, no, I don't remember any woods in North Philly. You remember any woods, Lupe, where the fuck you grew up? No, right? You know, and we're both in Portlandia. I mean, where there are woods, but there's no hood here. You know, unless you equate hood with a black neighborhood, you know, which is fucking ridiculous, which makes you fucking ridiculous. You know, again, I don't even know why the fuck we're in here, Lupe. I mean, what's to say? Every 28 fucking hours, a black man is killed by the goddamn police. On average, in the United States. Okay, we're marching. They burned down, somebody burned down the memorial to Michael Brown. And of course, there were a lot of bigots on Twitter, and I suppose on Facebook too, that were saying, you know, that it was some black extremists that burned it down so that they could cause a riot. But, I mean, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, here it is, the chief who lies about everything from the beginning, who then wants to, you know, integrate himself within the movement to get Darren Wilson before a judge, before a jury, you know, before the legal system, right? To explain why he needed to use 11 goddamn, you know, shots. Meaning a lot of them missed. Right? Whether, you know, one autopsy supposedly says 8, one autopsy supposedly says 6, what the fuck do we know? All we do know is that the fucking police chief lied. And it is clear that he fucking lied. Right? And then here's Eric Holder. Now, you know, you can go through the fucking archives. Alright? Aboriginal Radio. Blogspot.com. I mean, sorry. Aboriginal Radio. WordPress.com. Go through the fucking archives. Use your Google. Whatever the fuck you want to do. Fourth World Radio. The Angry Indian. We have talked about Eric Holder before. We have talked about his connections, right? To United Fruit. We have talked about his connections, right? To supporting, you know, death squads that were killing indigenous people in South America, right? Okay, we've talked about this. But he also came around and said that white people were fucking cowards. Now, this is the West Indian in him. You dig what I'm saying? You know, this is the West Indian in him. He said that white people were cowards for not fucking dealing with racism in their own goddamn country. How they can point out racism someplace else, but can't talk about racism within their own motherfucking domestic claimed territories. And he was right about that. That the white man in the United States is a fucking coward. Whether he is a conservative or whether he is a liberal, he is a fucking coward. He and she is a fucking coward when it comes to being a racist. Because if we actually dealt with this shit, we wouldn't be talking about it. I wouldn't be fucking mentioning it, right? Lupe's children wouldn't have to be concerned about it when they go to fuck to school. You dig what I'm saying? Her and her husband, who is white by the goddamn way, would not have to be concerned about this, and they wouldn't have to explain fucking mascots, native mascots to their kids, or why they want to take slavery out of the fucking textbooks and all this kind of shit. You know, they wouldn't have to fucking deal with this. they wouldn't have to fucking deal with this. You know, my wife and I would not have to fucking deal with this. You dig what I'm saying? You know, when somebody says something really fucking stupid, really fucking fucked up, right? Something completely goddamn out of pocket. I mean, a complete motherfucking violation. And yeah, I know. I'm not going to get into that whole pimp shit that we were talking about last time, right? Because a lot of people got fucking, you know, right? A lot of people were totally confused about what the fuck that was about, right? You know, not really objectively looking at what the fuck I was talking about, assuming that I was just coming down on black people again, all promoting pimping, which is not what the fuck I was talking about, nor what the fuck I was doing. You know, it's just that it was the show. You know, I had a conversation. We're going to have him on the show sometime next week. But, you know, Dr. Vibe, you need to be checking him out. Dr. Vibe, I believe it's drvibe.com. You know, he's broadcasting out of Toronto. You know, he's, as far as he's aware, the only black podcast broadcasting out of Toronto. You dig what I'm saying? Probably out of Canada, you know, for the fuck we know, right? And, yeah, because you and I have been trying to, we've heard rumor that there was another black podcast in Vancouver, but, you know, that's on the other side of the country. But, you know, who the fuck knows, right? You know, there might be something on pirate radio. There might be something on shortwave or what have you. But, you know, who the fuck knows, right? All we do know is that, like I told him, you know, we had a conversation. You know, he's going to be on the show another time, but we had a conversation. I told him. I said, hey, man, you know, when we look at black media, you know, in the confines of North America, you dig, you know, I look at the Nielsen ratings. And I think, what was it? I think I told him 2012. I don't have it right in front of me. But, you know, I look at the Nielsen fucking ratings. And they break it down by race, by ethnicity. Yeah, because race is a goddamn stupid fucking term. And as a term, it makes sense, I suppose. But as a concept, you know, when you look at it from the genetic level, it's really a whole lot of bullshit. You know, I mean, didn't we already find one goddamn white supremacist who was from Canada, by the way, originally, but he came to the States because, you know, he has some trouble going on up there, and he tried to found an all-white motherfucking community and shit, and he ended up on some fucking television show. Yeah, with the chick that had the book, Shahrazad Ali, right? Yeah, she had that book. The black man's guide to controlling the black woman. Well, I don't think that was the title, but that's kind of, well, that's how people articulated it, and I really don't think that's what she meant. But that's, you know, look, man, when you get into racial politics, you know, motherfuckers like to, you know, they got this bullshit that if you know, if everybody around you is the exact same DNA as you, right, that your world is safe. That your world is okay. That, you know, you don't have to worry about violence. That you don't have to worry about people cheating you. That you don't have to worry about a motherfucker breaking into your crib. That you don't have to worry about somebody trying to fuck with your woman. You don't have to worry about anybody trying to violate your family. You know, that you'll be able to earn a living, right? That you'll be able to have your own motherfucking house. And some of you real egotistical sons of bitches, that you motherfuckers will be able to, you know, be a king some fucking where, right? Because, you know, you fuckers hate the monarchy. You hate the system so goddamn much, you don't want to see anybody have anything. You know, you listen to Alex Jones, right? You go on Icecast and listen to Might is Right, and, you know, which is really antiquated bullshit from a motherfucker that isn't even on this mortal coil any motherfucking more. You know, I mean, this, what was his name, Loop, I was telling you? Because you didn't know what I was talking about. The fucking Turner Diaries. Now, I remember seeing that shit in a Walden Books. Right? I remember seeing that shit in a Walden Books in New York. I was visiting a girlfriend. This was, you know, some time ago. And fucking, I remember we went into a bookstore. And, yeah, the German woman I was telling you about. Not that that matters, but, you know, we went into a bookstore, and I looked at this, and they had a sign or a proviso that said, hey, we do not advocate what you will read in this book. We do not advocate the ideas in this volume, but we carry it because we believe in free speech. Now, I believe that this was a Walden Books, which I don't believe exists anymore. You know, I mean, yeah, what, Walden Books and Barnes & Noble and shit in the States. And fucking, I pointed out to her that I had heard about this because a lot of people ask me, well, you know, how can you talk so much shit about the libertarians? You don't really know what the fuck you're talking about. You sure about that? Are you sure about that? Because fucking, I remember, you know, I used to get a package that was sent to me, you know, from a group that was dealing, that monitored, you know, when you used to do things through news clippings. It was basically a news clipping service, you know, with the internet now, which, you know, young people who listen to this, they won't know what the fuck I'm talking about. They don't even remember, you know, when you had to, you know, really spin the fucking dial when you made a phone call, right? You know, used to have clipping services for all kinds of subjects. You have people that were into true crime, UFOs, whales, whatever the fuck, you know. I mean, they had a clipping service. You know, people who are into these, you know, stamps, right? Into all these esoteric fucking, you know, things. Well, I used to follow people who monitored the far right. And I can't remember how much I sent this book, but it was for like $2 or $3 a year. You know, some nominal fee. And sometimes some, and there was a few others that I used to correspond with, International Reply Coupons, the original IRC, right? Yeah, right? You know, before the chat thing, you know, International Reply Coupons. And, you know, for various subjects. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that I was involved in at that time was studying and researching the far right. And, you know, trying to understand. And, you know, if you want to understand why this is, you know, for you white supremacist lurkers, for you fucking Klan lurkers and shit, or for you sons of bitches that fuck around on Stormfront, yeah, I've had family killed by the goddamn Klan, alright? So, yeah, you know, I got a personal stake in this shit. You dig what I'm saying? I've had family fucking killed by the Klan, and I've had family that has been pushed out of towns by the fucking Klan. You know, so, you know, in my immediate motherfucking family, meaning the motherfucking, you know, cat that is my fucking, you know, genetic fucking father, you know what I'm saying? You know, his entire fucking family got pushed out of two fucking towns. You dig what I'm saying? Because of the Klan, man. You know, so it's like, I don't even want to fucking hear it from white folks when they talk about, oh, yeah, well, you know, this, that, and the other. You know, I've had relatives lynched. Now, you know, for a lot of white folks, they take that as, well, I can't argue with you because, you know, what can I say? You know, you've had family that has been terrorized. So it's like, what can I possibly say? You're a black person, so I can't possibly argue against you. And see, you know, I'm going to be raw right here. You know, that's a really pussy motherfucking argument. You know, that's a really punk-ass fucking way to not have a goddamn discussion. Dig what I'm saying? Now, you know, my language may be, you know, really rough right now, but, you know, I just get tired of the bullshit. You dig what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm looking at Ferguson, and, you know, I'm talking to Lupe, and I'm speaking to fucking, you know, people on the street, you know, because, like I said, I was talking with Dr. Vibe today. And, you know, I was telling them, I said, you know, the majority of the material that I get on these motherfucking shows, man, when Lupe and I actually have a studio, which is something I probably, you know, I need to go on a tangent for a fucking moment, you know, we haven't been able to do a show because, one, we did a couple of interviews that we ended up having to trash because people said shit, and then, you know, I don't know what it is with it when you have black men on who claim to be motherfucking revolutionaries and claim to be 100% Afro-fucking-centric, and as soon as you talk about, you know, Ebola, it then moves over into AIDS, right? And they're all for the conspiracy theories, but when you start talking about homosexuals, then all of a sudden they don't want to, you know, it just gets weird. It just gets weird. And then they start saying shit, and then, you know, you start motherfucking responding to the bullshit that they're coming up with, and then you end up having to motherfucking trash the interview because it didn't go anywhere. Now, you know, Lupe thinks I need to release these fucking things anyway, and I don't, you know, because I'm not out here to clown anybody. I'm not out here to embarrass anyone. I'm not out here to make anyone feel, you know, that they're under some sort of, you know, duress. I mean, I'm even willing to have motherfucking bigots up here. I mean, I don't know what else to, you know, to fucking tell people. I mean, you know, straight up, if you are a white supremacist, if you are a neo-Nazi, All right. And I'm not talking about the shit that Maurice Mahomet got himself caught up in with that fucking open carry Texas bullshit. Because that was really just about one motherfucking, you know, white dude who wanted to maintain his concealed carry permit. And it turned out that he took his concealed carry permit because the motherfucker had some charges pending against him over some bullshit that he got involved with that had nothing to do with the black community. And he decided to piggyback his motherfucking personal individualistic cause on conditions in the black community. Now, I'm not trying to diss Minister Maurice Mohammed. We've had him on this show several times. I'm not trying to say that I'm not, you know, I didn't have any association with this, you know, with this brother. I mean, he's doing what he does. And I've pointed out, I've said it in writing and I've said it on this show that, you know, I've had interviews with people who are incarcerated. Jeffrey Wansley. You need to go through the archives, like I said, at aboriginalradio.wordpress.com. And look at that. You know, Jeffrey Wansley and Calvin Burari. You know, we've done interviews with them inside that, you know, I wouldn't be able to do without help. You dig what I'm saying? From people who are actually connected with them that are making these connections. And when we did Calvin Burari, that was, you know, relay through Ireland. You know, we have a correspondent, you know, Della Prosa in Ireland. You know, I mean, you know, we're doing what we can out here. This is a medium using Skype, using Twitter, what have you. You can do so much out here. Instead of talking about whether or not, you know, Beyonce is sexy or whether or not Kim Kardashian and motherfucking, what's that other goddamn clown, motherfucking celebrity? The other one everybody wants to argue over whether or not her ass is real. The West Indian chick. You know who the fuck. Come on. I can't think of her name right now. You know, I really can't. But, you know, it doesn't matter. There's so fucking many. You know, I mean, I've seen some before and afters of, what was it, Serena Williams? Is that the one with the, with the, you know, fantastic hula? No, I mean, are her poompies real? You know, one of the Williams sisters, I saw before and after of her. And I've seen before and after Kim Kardashian, too. You know, and it's like, you know, the ass isn't real, man. You know, it's fucking ridiculous with this goddamn surgery shit. Huh? No, I'm still blanking out on who the fuck. She's black, yeah. Nicki Minaj. All right, yeah, well, whatever. You know, I mean, I don't give a fuck about, yeah, I know they say she's hip-hop. Whatever, you know. I remember, you know, Captain Marvel. Super sperm, right? You know, so, no, you know, I mean, you know, love is the message and what have you and shit. You know, hey, listen. I'm not trying to diss anybody. I'm not trying to diss anybody, man. You know, I am an educated, self-conscious, knowledgeable, civilized Asiatic black man, and you know, I'm looking about me and you know, I'm seeing utter motherfucking confusion. You know, I'm looking at people who are conscious, but for some reason they're fascist. You dig what I'm saying? You know, they don't know how to deal with the world around them and in terms of the human experience, and they equate that with their racial shit because somebody down the line really fucking stomped on them for being a person of fucking color. And I'm noticing on Twitter today too that people are bitching about that too, that they're tired of hearing, well, a person of color, just say black. But the fucking thing about it is, if you're dealing with the, you know, I mean, sociopolitically, if you're dealing with the paradigm as it stands, right? You know, as is already set up, this is what I'm saying. Who the fuck ever said that the entire world was motherfucking white? Well, obviously white people. And then when you really look at, you know, the European population, and within that European population, because they don't consider Rom, right, or Gypsy people white, right? Serbs are not considered white by a lot of motherfuckers, right? I mean, Jews didn't become white. I'm not even talking about Sephardim. I'm talking about Ashkenazim. And I'm talking shit right now because I'm goddamn part of Ashkenazim. You know, and that's something else I really wanted to get into. What? No, I want to talk about this. Because motherfucking, you know, it's like if you're black and Jewish. And in my case, if you're black and Jewish and Filipino and Indian, you know, nobody really knows how the fuck to take you. You dig what I'm saying? Because you're supposed to, what, you know, be one or the other? Well, in my case, how the fuck am I going to do that? Well, yeah, but see, you speak Spanish, and for all accounts and purposes, you look as what people, they don't even think Guatemalan. They just think South American, right? Well, yeah, I see Guatemalan in you, but, you know, that's not something that they, well, when I say they, I'm talking about, you know, the average person out here. Not just white. I mean, that's the average person. Well, yeah, when you met your husband, I mean, he thought you were Mexican, right? Yeah, you had to talk to him, you know. And even when he got the food, you know, he just saw rice and beans. He didn't know the difference, right? So, you know, I mean, you know, there's a whole lot of misperceptions, miscalculations, misunderstandings, misinformation. You dig what I'm saying? And, you know, when I talk about UFOs with people and shit, like I said, you know, I got into somebody else with, you know, on Twitter about that and over coffee. What, a couple of days ago, right? I'm like, I'm not saying that people don't see things. I've seen things. I don't know what the fuck I saw. Unidentified flying object. I am making no assumptions that they're from another goddamn planet, another star system, another universe, another dimension. I'm not going that goddamn far. I leave that to Stephen Hawking and all these other cats that deal with quantum physics and shit. Because, I mean, who really fuck with quantum physics? You know, I dabble. You dig what I'm saying? I dabble. You know, but they really fuck with these things. And, you know, I leave that shit to them. Now, in terms of, I think I mentioned Paul Benowitz, who was totally driven fucking insane by the intelligence services of the U.S. Air Force, it turns out. Now, this is a documentary called Mirage Men. I don't know who made it, but I give them total fucking credit because they pointed out how much, you know, bullshit runs around in the UFO community. I mean, like the whole ancient aliens thing. I'm not against the idea. Especially those of you who follow the blogs, which I mention them again, our main blog, ang-newswire.blogspot.com, and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com, and aboriginalpress.tumblr.com. I mean, check them all out, you know, there's different information on each, but check them all out. You know, and of course for this podcast, aboriginalradio.wordpress.com. And you can always email us at fourthworldradio@gmx.pt. Let me say that again if you didn't get it, because this is all one word. Number 4, TH, world, radio, @gmx.pt. Yeah, man, so, you know, it's just bullshit. You know, I mean, I look at Ferguson, you know, I'm looking at the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL. They decided to start specifically putting out propaganda to say that what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri, in North America, has nothing to do with what happened during Operation Protective Edge in occupied Palestine, right? Where they basically tore up the motherfucking Gaza and killed a whole lot of fucking people and a whole lot of children and a whole lot of people that are, you know, what they like to term as non-combatants. And in the meantime, you know, the entire world now has decided to go after the Islamic State, which I'm not saying that these motherfuckers don't need to be got. I mean, you know, these fuckers are crazy. These fuckers are crazy. Anybody that doesn't think that the IS is fucking crazy is himself fucking insane. You know, I mean, goddamn, you know, it's not that the beheadings are bugging me so much, even though, of course, they are, you know, but, I mean, Saudi goddamn cuts heads off all the fucking time. And you have French neo-Nazis who follow Jean-Marie Le Pen and his fucking crazy ass daughter, you know, I mean, and Brigitte Bardot for that goddamn matter, you know, I mean, she likes animals, but she hates all non-whites, right? You know, I mean, it's fucking insane. You know, and people talk shit about PETA, but if, I mean, fucking, they don't go as far as Bridget Bardot does. I mean, she's a fucking Nazi. She's a Nazi. I mean, I've had a lot of European, you know, male friends of mine who got into arguments with me because they're like, I don't believe that she's a racist. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? Come on. She's a fucking bigot. You know, because as young men, you know, we look, you know, we were all into her, right? You know, but it's like, no, man, you know, you just can't. You know, every time we accept racism, when we accept misogyny, when we accept religious bigotry, right? You know, bigotry in all forms. You dig what I'm saying? We lessen the entire fucking human experience for not just everybody around us, not just for the world at large, but for ourselves, man. I mean, really, goddamn. You know, it's like I was someplace earlier today where there was a newborn. I think the child was like 7 days old. Okay, so a full week now. It's been out of the womb, right? He was a male. So for some of you motherfuckers out there, especially the right-wing lurkers and shit who listen to this show, you know, that's a big deal because another white male has come out into the world, right? But, you know, it's just amazing to see how people can be really negative and kind of mean, kind of not so nice, kind of fucked up, right? And then someone brings an infant or a puppy into a room or a kitten or something, and then, you know, all of a sudden everybody chills the fuck out for a moment, you know. And it's like, what I don't understand is why you sons of bitches can't be like that all the motherfucking time. You know, why can't you be like that all the goddamn time? Now, you know, those of you who follow the current Dalai Lama, you know, who has been able to thrive only because he's not in Tibet any motherfucking more. And I'm not talking about, you know, any sort of praise for the Chinese being in Tibet, but let's talk about why the Chinese are in Tibet in the fucking first place. I mean, they've had an understanding with Tibet for centuries. We don't fuck with you. You don't fuck with us basically anymore. And, you know, cause Tibet had invaded them a couple of times in the past and, you know, and ran China for the most part, right? You know, I mean, you know, there's 12, what do you call it? Was it the government or how do people look at it? I don't know, but there's like 12 nationalities or ethnic groups within China. And of course the Han or the white Chinese. This is why when I talk about whiteness, I'm not talking about just Europeans. You know, in Africa, you have whiteness too. I mean, those who have, you know, Arab blood, those who have been Arabized. I mean, look what the fuck is going on in Sudan. Look at what's going on in Sudan. When you hear Sudanese talk about, well, we got to get rid of the niggas and shit, and they're fucking darker than I am. You know, it's like, wait a goddamn minute. When you think about Tupu Tip. Tupu Tip, for those of you who don't know, was, for all accounts and purposes, a black man. But because his father was Arab, even though his mother was a black African, or how do you like to say it? A sub-Saharan African, right? Remember, we kept hearing all that shit when they were going after Gaddafi. After, what was the name? Al-Bidi? Because, you know, I lost that motherfucking article. You know, the internet is a motherfucker, man. Because, you know, what lingers on the internet lingers because they want it to fucking linger. You know, the rest of it shit disappears. Now, I wrote a fucking piece called Not a Rape Matters in Africa, and all I still have is the first section of that piece. Because for whatever reason, you know, I lost a fucking hard drive after I wrote that shit, and then fucking I put it up on the main sites. And what ended up happening was, you know, the shit got wiped. And you would think that it would be on what do you call that? The fucking where they archive all the fucking websites, whether you want it or not. Well, whatever it is. I mean, there's ways to find stuff. I mean, if somebody really wants to find some damaging fucking information about you, you know, they can do it. You know, if you have any kind of a social fucking history on the internet, well, I mean, fuck, if you've done anything that's ever been listed, You know, I mean, I've known people that have put themselves into Google and found their fucking address. I mean, all kinds of personal shit about them that they did not want anybody to fucking know. You know, and now it was so goddamn. I mean, I already know two men who have been caught by their wives fucking around because they were able to trace their iPhone over some resources and shit that they found on the net. So, you know, I mean, it's really hard to fucking lie, which, if I know I'm going on tangents, but roll with me. You know, look at the shit that's going on in Ferguson right now. Now, you had Chief Jackson that came around and wanted to do a video motherfucking apology instead of going straight up to the goddamn parents face to face, which is really some punk shit, man. You know, and I must talk this too, since we're talking about punk shit. You motherfuckers on Twitter that come up with these fucking accounts, or people like Renewsit, or, you know, any of the, or Core Shift, or any of these other motherfucking clowns out here. Jim Hoff, what the fuck does he call himself? Gateway Pundit. You know, any of these goddamn bigoted fucking racist clowns, and I'm including, you know, Alex Jones in this shit, because we know we've done a show about him before. And, you know, Alex Jones is a motherfucking maniac. And anybody that takes him fucking serious, you know, just like I was mentioning that goddamn, William Turner with the fucking, the Turner Diaries. No, William Pierce with the fucking Turner Diaries. Let me correct myself. Because the motherfuckers on Starfront that listen to this show, they will point out that I was, you know, that I slipped in that. So let me correct my goddamn self. All right. And like I said, if any of you motherfuckers want to come on the show and you can come on and not be insulting and really motherfucking talk about how the, you know, Western Europe is the master race, and that, you know, your xenophobia makes any scientific or historical motherfucking sense when you look at, you know, how mixed Europe has always goddamn been, and how slavery was endemic and warfare was endemic in Europe. I mean, you don't see too many other fucking cultures around the world to have, you know, cities, fucking, you know, walls around the goddamn cities and shit. I mean, my mother, when she was talking to me, because my mother spoke Yiddish, you know, and she was like, yeah, the whole fucking city would have a goddamn wall around it and shit. And I'm like, why? She goes, oh, to protect it from the other fucking people and shit. You know, to protect it from the barbarians. I'm like, well, who the fuck were they? She goes, anybody that wasn't one of us. Right? You know, that's the European mindset, man. Warfare. You know, because if you know, if there's any kind of possibility that you could take any kind of advantage of me, well, god damn it, then I need to fucking protect myself from that shit. So that means covering myself up with a wall, my city, my family, my womb. I mean, Europeans, when they would leave, you know, they would leave town to go on their fucking crusades, go to make money, go to whore in another fucking town. You know, they would put a chastity belt on their old lady. Right? Now, we were just talking about pimping in the last episode. See, that ain't pimping if you got to do that kind of shit. You know, a chastity belt? I mean, goddamn. Now, I know somebody's about to motherfucking talk about, well, they sew women up in, and remove their clitorises in fucking Africa, which I have to say here has nothing to do with fucking Islam. See, that's just some, you know, real paternalistic African shit that pre-existed Islam. I have to say that. You know, I mean, they justify through religion, but that's just a crock. You know, it's just control of women. You know, I mean, why would you want to mutilate a woman any motherfucking way? You know, I mean, the only reason to do that is to control her. You dig what I'm saying? And then when you want to fucking make it worse and sew up her vagina until you come back, which can be weeks, no, days, weeks, months, maybe years, because you got a whole other family, or maybe several, some fucking place else. You know, no, man, fuck you, man. You know, you're a son of a bitch. And you can't tell me about some cultural bullshit, because that's some bullshit. See, and women need to fight against that. And, you know, women of color, because we dust friend is talking about Shahrazad Ali, right? Let's roll back into that. You know, people looked at her book. Now, I am not of the opinion, because I read it. I owned a copy at one point. You know, I am not of the opinion that she was necessarily telling, you know, black men, smack your woman, right? If she gets out of line, smack her, put her in a place. Now, you know, it was literally spelled out like that, but in her, you know, really, that's not what she was talking about. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of talk because of Ray Rice. You know, it's always talk about female abuse when a black man does it, right? I mean, we've had a bunch of Republicans and shit and a couple of Democrats that have just like beat the shit out of their wives, man. Totally abused their fucking families. And then you had like fuckers, you know, Nazi fuckers, you know, Stormfront type fuckers, right? Like JT Reddy, who murdered his entire fucking family and then killed himself like a fucking bitch. You know, Gerard and Amanda Miller. They did all that fucking damage. White on white crime. Let's not talk about that. And then they fucking committed suicide. You know, you got Eric Rudolph, Scott Roeder. You know, all of these crazy ass goddamn white people. You know, but we're gonna just look at violence against women when black men do it. Because, you know, white men don't do it. You know, you got a whole lot of MOBs. You know, mail order brides from the Philippines and shit, from Thailand, from Indonesia, from Russia. They come to the United States with their new husband, come to meet this motherfucker, disappear. He orders another one through the motherfucking catalogs. You know what I'm saying? No big deal. You know, just like when Oklahoma happened. I'm talking about Oklahoma. You know, everything is focused on 911, but nobody panicked when the Oklahoma, you know, federal building went down because of Timothy McVeigh and his motherfucking partner, Terry Nichols. Terry Nichols was in and out of the goddamn Philippines, you know, picking wives and shit. You think what I'm saying? And she was helping him sell his shit at the survivalist goddamn meetings, because I've written about this. You know, Susie Wong Revisited. You know, go do your goddamn research. You know, go look this shit up. I've been writing about this shit for years. These motherfucking white supremacists are full of goddamn shit, man. You know, any goddamn man that needs to control women, that needs to be around people of his own fucking ethnic group, you know, exclusively and all this kind of shit. I mean, look, man, the only reason things are mixed up in, England, in Toronto, in Vancouver, BC, in Seattle, Washington, right? New York or something. New York's probably the only real international city ever, really. Not just for North America, I mean, in the world, really. You know, between New York City, Philadelphia, London, Paris, Berlin, right? There's Hong Kong, right? And again, that's just dealing with a very Anglophone way of looking at it. But when you go to South America, what are you looking at? Mexico City, La Paz, right? You know, what's really happening? What's really happening? And now we got shit popping up in Poland. Right? Croatia is a party town now. Well, not a town, but, you know, Montenegro. You know, people go there to hang out now. You know, so it's like, you know, what the fuck, man? You know, who the fuck really knows? Right? It's always up to your fucking perspective, where you are in your head at one time. You know, or another. I mean, at one time, Ibiza was a place to be. You know, it wasn't really crowded. You know, it's just full of, you know, bohemians and shit. You know, cool place, right? Now it's all party fucked up. You know, a whole lot of parts of Spain are fucked up now. You know, goddamn alcoholism and shit. You know, I mean, they want to talk about how fucked up, you know, people of color on, you know, drugs in North America. I mean, does anybody talk about the goddamn party towns of Europe? Does anybody talk about the UK? I know the Scots really get tired of hearing shit, and Australians really get tired of being slandered too, right? You know, but has anybody really talked about what London looks like on the fucking tube? But what? Oh yeah, they stopped drinking on the tube, right? But I mean, you can smell the urine though for fucking how many city blocks? You know, it's just no. You know, I mean, it's really bad. People, you know, can drink on the street, and you know, uneducated, but when they don't have, unemployed, don't have anything else to do, you know, and basically your main thing in life, like say if you're from, and I'm just throwing out an area, Leicester, right? Pick an area in Hull. I don't know. What does Coronation Street look like nowadays? Right? What does Brick Lane look like nowadays? You know, brown, right? But they drink because they're unemployed. They don't have anything going on for them, right? You know, they don't have anything. I mean, what was it? In Paris, you got Turks. They're Muslim. Not supposed to drink. They're unemployed. What are they doing? They're drinking. They're fighting amongst each other. You know, they're doing petty crimes. They're doing, you know, crime trying to get paid so that they can support their families. You know, capitalism is a bitch. I don't care how you look at it. And capitalism encourages racism. Because you have to find excuses on why you're fucking over these people. Right? You have to find excuses on why you're marginalizing people. You have to find excuses on why you're exploiting people. You know, it's like when I look at, you know, human trafficking, I mean, the more I look at it, I'm realizing that I thought I knew what the fuck was going on, and I didn't know nearly enough. It's a goddamn fucking shame. It's a fucking shame that, you know, I'm looking at what's happening with this whole Islamic State bullshit that has gotten completely out of fucking hand, because a handful of fucking people who wrote the Project for a New American fucking Century. And, you know, Lupe, if you remind me, we should link to this when we put the fucking show up. Project for a New fucking American Century. You know, they started all of this. And now all of the fucking national resources, all of the social resources, all of the people resources, right? My motherfucking tax money, your motherfucking tax money, in North America, in fucking Europe, in Australasia, now has to go to fighting fucking ISIS, who wouldn't have existed in the fucking first place if they hadn't allowed the sectarian violence between Sunni and Shia go on to fucking begin with. They were standing there watching the Shia do this. And you have to understand something else. If you do a little motherfucking research like I did, I mean, you can go to Wikipedia and find out that the majority of fucking Muslims out here are Sunni. So why would you do this? Unless you just figure that, well, you know, you're white, you got all the, you know, all the, you know, the force in the world, and you have a military base in every goddamn country that exists, that, you know, if you do this, that if you do this, that, you know, you'll just control the paradigm. That you'll make the paradigm work for you, whether the paradigm works or not. You know, that's not the issue. The issue is whether or not you have money in your pocket. And see, and when you look at somebody like Dick Cheney, it can't possibly be about the money. It can't possibly be about the Dodge. It can't be. This is an addiction. This is an addiction. This is an addiction to power. This is an addiction to control. And this is why you see what I'm calling the fallout of white panic. Because you look at what's happening in Ferguson. They can't explain this one away. How do you explain what this man did? What this individual police officer did to this young black man? He did not stop him for a fucking robbery. There was never a robbery reported. And we've had, you know, all of this uproar in North America about this. No justice for the family. No justice for anybody. Now we have the head of the Justice Department stepping down because he has said that he understood and that he could relate to the people in Ferguson. And white bigots jumped up and down and said, well, fuck that. He's a fucking racist. He hates white people. He's a goddamn racist because he can relate as a black man to other black men having their lives taken away from them, losing their fucking jobs because they're late for work because they've been stopped by the fucking cops like I have. You know, to have your rights completely ignored by white people because they can, like Dred Scott, like I have. Like most black men, like most Spanish-speaking Indians, like most Indians, fucking period. Like most poor people, period. Including our white brothers and sisters who are poor, who don't have anything, who have been cut out from the system, who ethnically are mostly Scots-Irish and Polish, right? Who have been cut out from the fucking system because of Western European prejudices. You know, it's like, what the fuck, man? You know, at what point did we really goddamn say to ourselves that not that the system is broken, because that's a whole lot of bullshit. The system was never meant to work in the fucking first place, except for who the fuck it was supposed to work for. And if you really don't understand that, then, you know, I don't know what to tell you. You really need to make your fucking self a cup of tea, you know, sit down someplace, right? You know, and have a real deep look at your fucking life, because, you know, you're stupidity is making life very fucking difficult for the rest of us. You know, and I'd rather you stay the fuck out of the political process, because you really make things hard for people who are making sacrifices and shit, you know, because of your goddamn apathy or your fucking paranoia. You know, if you're a white person and, you know, the idea of a black person having 5 cents more than you, you know, gives you the hives, right? If you get diarrhea about that, you know, if your hemorrhoids and shit swell to the size of a basketball because of the idea that somebody might have something more than you and they're of a shade darker than you, then fuck you, man. You know, really, fuck you. You know, and if you want to use religion to back that shit up, well then fuck you even more. You know, because you're a fucking moron. You know, this is some shit that can't even fucking be proved. It's like your fucking stupid ass racism can't fucking be proved. It's dumb. And you're dumb. You're stupid. You're deaf and dumb. You know, and it's like you make things hard for fucking people. I mean, you think make things hard for the children that come behind you. It's your fucking stupidity. And like I said, if any of you fucking bigots have the goddamn balls, you know, 44radio@gmx.pt, you know, we'll arrange. I'll have you on the fucking show. You know, explain your fucking self, if you can. This is the Angry Indian, and you've been listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. And at this point, you know, I mean, I've had enough. Haven't you?
It's you liberals who have lifted them up, Howard.
Paul, you conservatives make a mistake. You can't afford to strangle hope and hope.
Without hope,
people become dangerous.
No, Howard, you liberals have let them invade our society. You give them jobs, political jobs.
Paul, you missed the point. It's only the smart we move up.
That makes it even worse.
No, no, we have to move them up. If we leave a smart one in the ghetto, he might develop into a leader against us. But if we raise him up into white society, we neutralize him. He feels compelled to try to act like us. He loses his identity and his racial anger. If he has, he becomes alien to his brothers. They realize he sold them out and they grow to him. He becomes for them and safe for us. That's no thank you. In fact, in his love for the creature comforts, except for his color, he's become one of us.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service.
दोपहर को कहाँ गई थी?
दोपहर को बाजार गई थी।
पता क्यों नहीं जा सकती थी?
अरे अभी इसकी क्या बताना?
पड़ोसियों से पता चलता है मुझे।
पता चले तो क्या हुआ?
चुप। ये घर मैं चलाता हूँ। मुझसे पूछे बगैर कोई काम नहीं होगा इस घर में। चल चला समझ।
घरेलू हिंसा में बाधा डालकर उसे रोको। बेल बजाओ। घरेलू हिंसा अधिनियम पर जानकारी के लिए bellbajao.org पर लॉग ऑन करें। ब्रेक थ्रू की पहल।
Hello, I'm Carol Gordon. Inform yourself about Plan B emergency contraception. Information can be the best protection, especially dealing with asexual assault or unprotected sex. If you are 17 or older, you do not need a prescription to receive Plan B. All Indian Health Service facilities should carry Plan B, but most don't. This is a violation of your reproductive rights. Call your local Indian Health Service unit and ask for Plan B. It is our right as Native women to receive Plan B. This message is brought to you by the Native American Women's Health Education Resource Center.
Radio Insurgente, la voz de los sin voz.
Vamos, 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 vamos adelante, para que salgamos en la lucha avante, porque nuestra patria grita y necesita de todo el esfuerzo de los zapatistas.
Transmitiendo desde algún lugar de las montañas del sureste mexicano, en la frecuencia 97.9 en FM.
This is Kristen Hirsch from Throwing Muses, and you're listening to a podcast released under a Creative Commons license.
This is Radio Free Starfucker.
Dear Hip Hop, I'm writing to inform you I'm going to have to end our relationship. I know in the beginning I was down to work them hips, but I was tricked. Seduced by your beat. See, you had me for 3 minutes and 46 seconds. I was suspended in time, but when I snapped out of it, I had to ask, did I hear what I thought I did in that last rhyme? Now forgive me. Maybe I'm getting old, or maybe I'm just slow, because I didn't even know you could say bitch on the radio. But I was entranced by that beat I heard somewhere before. Oh, I remember that was the original score. Now, unless I'm dreaming, I could have swore. Right after you called me a bitch, you called someone else a whore. And at this point, I'm trying to process a few things. What were the original words to that song? And you want me to do what with my thong? And I'm tripping, because nobody's acting like anything is wrong. After all, the anthem for the new millennium was Big Pimpin'. And it all seems a bit surreal, because when I was dancing around, I didn't know the damage my soul was going to feel. And there are times I am still compelled to move, but I swear to you, it's that old school groove that's playing above the lyrics, because if the music wasn't there, I definitely wouldn't hear it. I thought hip-hop was supposed to be a means of poetically expressing yourself, but it seems these days you'd say anything to get your CDs off the shelf, so let's toast with champagne and blunts to your health, but first, tell me why. Every other video, brother's gotta be a gigolo. And you show your respect by pouring beer for the homie who's dead and then pour the rest of that 40 over some female's head. And what's crazier than that is she doesn't seem to mind, but if you look past her ass, deep into her eyes, you just might find a hint of surprise, because she didn't realize that the camera shot was gonna be between her thighs. And she furthers a lie as she tried to deny, pretending like it's okay, that she just gave a piece of her self-esteem away. And it aired 9 times on MTV today, and all of that for little to no pay, but he's a hustler, baby, and he told you so. And when he's through, you're a video hoe. I'm trying to make it in this business, so I've actually stood in those high heel shoes, you know? And now when I go to the club, I see a sea of young women with fake diamonds bouncing around their waist, too little clothes on her body and too much makeup on her face, screaming, Andale, Andale, mommy, E-I-E-I, uh-oh. Were you that hoe? Was I that hoe? Or do we need to spiritually grow? Does anybody know what EIEI stands for anyway? Is it eternally imprinting, exaggerated ignorance, or exploiting innocence while extremely intoxicated? I'm starting to think this hip-hop thing has become way overrated, and you dedicated an entire song to how fast my ass is shaking? Tossing around money that you really ain't making? Didn't I see you on Court TV, accused of raping? But I'm the one hating. Well, maybe I am. Cause somebody needs to speak up on behalf of the woman, so no, you can't see my thumb. No, I won't back my thing up. No, you can't big pimp me into buying your CD. It takes a king and a queen to create a real dynasty. Why don't you set your mind free? Why don't you back that thinking up? Maybe you're already aware because you call yourself corrupt. And it's not hard to deduct when I keep hearing rumors that you're going bankrupt, that you just claiming head hip-hopper in charge, spending all your money on your boys just to prove that you're large, cause all your real niggas still kick it with you. And there ain't no nigga like the one you got. So you ride for your niggas and you die for your niggas, cause you're a no limitations nigga. What type of nigga slangin' bang in the streets? A bad boy, a rude boy, a 504 boy, a hot boy, a ghetto boy? Hold up, I got this plan. Stop calling yourself a nigga and a boy, and call yourself a man. Cause what I really want from my niggas is to realize that it's the root of the word that's the trigger, triggering thoughts through my temple of its real definition. Look it up, it's simple. Number one, ignorant. Number two, inconsequential and petty. Number three, stingy and miserly. But it's not the definition that comes as a shocker. What baffles me is that you call yourself a doctor. What are you healing, brother? And I'd really like to know, did you get that doctorate degree while you were on death row? Changing your name, thinking it'll contribute to your fame, but all you're doing is defaming yourself and your people, and you want to know why we aren't seen as equals? Got all your jewels wrapped around your neck and your wrist. What happened to throwing up a fist to represent unity, to show our pride? Now the only time you throw up your fist to show off the fact that you want a Rolex, never mind the damaging effects that all of this has. Look around, it's spreading fast. Even Baby Bow Wow has his Mickey Mouse eyes down, when he should be fitting those jewels into his crown. Got little kids thinking it's the thing to hustle up your money for a little bling bling. Why don't you sing, sing the truth, play? Money really ain't a thing, you see, when you trade it into the dignity. And all you've done is perpetuate negativity. The next time that you're seduced by that beat, whether it's when you go to the club, get your groove on, or buy a CD, the next time that you're seduced by that beat, listen closely to the rhyme. And you tell me if that's what poetry was meant to be. Sincerely, Bridget Gray.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
This is FSNN reporter MJ Del Valle in Tbilisi, Georgia. Free Speech Radio News has been an essential outlet for my stories from the Caucasus region, including in-depth looks at the recent Armenian presidential election, the creative ways protesters in Azerbaijan are using to fight for freedom of expression, and labor struggles in the Republic of Georgia. But FSRN, along with the voices of people struggling for dignity, equality, and human rights, could be silenced. Find out how can you support independent grassroots journalists at fsrn.org.
Now that America has a black president, is this proof that racism is a thing of the past?
Well, I think white men were 100% of the people that wrote the Constitution, 100% of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence, 100% of the people who died at Gettysburg and Vicksburg, probably close to 100% of the people who died at Normandy. This has been a country built basically by white folks in this country who were 90% of the entire nation. I think they ought to defend the legitimate rights of white working class folks who are the victims of discrimination.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Media. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
The professor, the president, John Silver, said that one of the problems with the programs of the 60s was that they did not provide corrective measures to help the black family. We need to understand that when black people were brought here to the United States, they were brought here as an act of war. They were kidnapped here, and the destruction of the black family and the creation of a slave mentality was an integral part of the development of this nation state. So there has never been an interest in the black family. That's reflected today. But even more, every city in which we have aspired to so-called political power, in Newark, black males are being murdered by the Newark Police Department under the guise they're robbing cars. When we look at New York City, the police riot in the streets. When we look at L.A., there was a riot in the streets. All these cities have black mayors. Yes. So we have to begin to understand that moving black people up the economic ladder does not necessarily mean that black people on the bottom of the economic ladder are going to be empowered, because there are black people who identify with the system so much that they are self-hating Negroes.
Mr. Bin Mohad, you seem to be going kaboom to the entire white community. Do we have from you a spirit of belief that there really are out there in America white folks who do not suffer from the pathology that Sister Soldier reminds us does exist in this country?
But why is that the question? In other words, it's the same as when you're dealing with the issue in South Africa. People say, well, if black people get in control of that government, what will they do with the white people who are living there? Why is that the question? Can we refocus the question
I'd like to explain
as to
my
how
question.
We want to correct
Let me have a moment. Let me have a moment to defend my question. If you believe that all people who are white are interested in pillaging, reminding us, as you painfully do, of our own history.
No, that's a mischaracterization. That's a mischaracterization. And first of all, it's the mischaracterization because the Constitution was established by white males with property. It said all men are created equal.
Right.
And they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. It didn't say women were created equal with men. And the Bill of Rights was attached to the Constitution because people without property had no rights. So I did not say that all white people are interested in burning and looting and pillaging. I am saying that the ideals that established this country were based on burning, looting, and pillaging people's land.
Except your point, and you concede to us that in contemporary society, we do have honorable people of all colors who have as much of an interest in the salvation of their babies as...
But the problem with that, Phil, is that the people of good intentions in the white community are the minority. They do not stand on principle, and they do not struggle against their own racism and white skin privilege. You see, the problem is this. It's like men who say, I understand how you feel as a woman being subjected to sexist behavior.
They can't possibly.
Not without interacting with women and what we're talking about here is very clear. If you look at Latin America today, in every society in Latin America, and Latin America is essentially a conglomeration of European settler states. The conquistadores went in there and did the same thing that the English did here and everything, right? When we look at the compositions of these societies, we see that at the top are light-skinned descendants of conquistadores, and at the bottom are native people and black descendants of Africans. White skin privilege is a European ideal and concept that was exported with their economic system, their religious philosophy, and it was exported and imposed on people of color. So when we talk about Latinos, let's understand what we're saying here. We're talking about Latinos who, for the most part, have African blood in them. And they have internalized racism just like everybody else. When we look at Asian Americans, many of the Asians that came here initially came to work the railroads. They were treated like dogs. They were treated like dirt. But when we see a lot of Asians that come to the United States today, one of the first words they learn in their lexicon, one of the first things that they learn is nigger. The United States' major contradiction around the issue of race is white skin male privilege. And if we don't attack that, if we don't analyze that, if we don't begin to deal with that, then we got a problem. And I totally disagree with the mayor of Washington because I do not have a stake in saving a racist nation. I do not have a stake in maintaining American hegemony over people of color around the world. I do not have an interest in maintaining this system that causes the miseries of billions of people one more moment.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to walk away from our investment in this country and the suffering that we've had in this country since 1619. We gave this country her culture. We gave this country her music. We gave this country her margin of profit with the agricultural revolution, though we never got our 40 acres and a mule. I'll be doggone if I'm walking away from four centuries of investment in this country. We, too, are entitled to a piece of the rock. I don't care how wrong America was.
So that black people, brown people, people of all colors want to get to the same place. And as to paraphrase,
we're in a situation of conflict.
Wait a minute. Don't we want? We want our children to be happy. Now, to paraphrase Senator Bradley of New Jersey, the state from which your piece was.
Senator Bradley gets much right when he talks.
He does, and he, among other things, and he's not claiming to be particularly original with the observation. We can't get there unless we go together. I have a terrible feeling that behind me are some people who do not agree.
Senator Bradley of the all-white United States Senate said we can't get there unless we all go there together. Sorry, none of us are where he is. That's number one. Number two, you're making a moral appeal to a country that doesn't have a moral conscience. Right. The question becomes that when white people feel serious and angry and upset about abortion, they come out in the thousands up to the millions to say, this is what we believe about abortion. Where is the white outcry against white racism that murders African people people all around this entire globe. It doesn't exist. So who are these white good people? I want to meet them. I want to
see them. But that's right. That might be all we can get.
And guess what? I don't work with all I can get. What I work with is what I have. Listen, you have to have some confidence in the power of African people amongst ourselves to establish a foundation.
We have
utter chaos in our cities, and you've got
There's
to
no
see
black
that.
Institutions we
you
can build?
Can have a program. I'm not saying we've built a lot of institutions, and those institutions have not been effective. The majority of millions of African youth in this country are dying mentally, dying spiritually, dying emotionally, dying academically, and you may have a program, Mr. Brown may have a program, but what we got to talk about is an American government that tracks millions of African people who don't go to your program, don't go to Brown's program, millions of African people, not only here, but all around the world, and if we are not honest enough to say who are our friends, who are our enemies, to know what a friend is, to know what an enemy is, we will constantly be trying to get into people's parties, to shake our butts with them, to get them to like us, and that's not the question. The question is, what can we build amongst ourselves to secure ourselves from our enemies so that we will be able to survive into the future?
Mayor Kelly wanted to say.
Not what I heard from Cornel West. There are lots of oases of hope in spite of all of what Sister Soldier says is true. And the sad and pitiful part of it is that the 6 o'clock news, the 11 o'clock news, most of the media never gives attention to it. And if that weren't bad enough, we know that maybe white America's not going to believe that there are oases of hope where people are empowering themselves as we have in Washington, D.C., Jackie West taking over her own housing, leading to her own ownership in a community. But the sad and tragic part is that our own community buys into that sense of powerlessness. We surrender to the power of the white man as if we were not the descendants of the first civilization, as if we were not an empowered people.
I never surrender to anybody, but I'm wise enough to know that if I walk out Washington, D.C. tonight, some black kid in Washington, D.C. is blowing off another black kid's head for a pair of sneakers because the institutions that we're talking about, not the things that we hold up and say, look, this is one example. The institutions that we're talking about are not saving the minds of those African children. That is the honest truth. Jersey, who told me who I was, who showed me my history, who told me who my enemies were, who let me know that this was not an easy world, who let me know that this was a cold environment, who let me know that what he's not a part of is dilly-dallying with the minds of African children and letting them know what the real situation is in America.
Apparently
they will be killed if they
apparently left out some very important facts. Because I think that I hear everything that you're saying, but if you are going to tell me that in the course of this country's history through slavery, civil rights, and so forth and so on, everybody who's come before you, sold this out, failed, etc., etc., then somebody hasn't told you your history. If the white power structure in this country is going to be said to have destroyed everything black, then you are indicting black people as well. We were, in fact, and we are today engaged in a struggle. We are, in fact, and we were today in many ways, and you can see it on the street, engaged in a kind of warfare in which our survival is at stake. But don't tell me we have won no battles in that war. None of us would be sitting here at all. Some people are.
Well, I don't know if it's fair to suggest that she's saying there have been no victories.
Black integrity, especially from a black man in a Republican party.
But wait, let's just make something clear here. This woman has never said that we're supposed to disregard our victories and just focus on the failures. You can't have no justice in this country without equality, and you cannot have in this country any peace without justice. So when you talk, when this man sits over here and tries to berate Sister Soldier and say that what she is saying, okay, is that we haven't accomplished anything, the woman is basically saying that before you can liberate a people, you have to first liberate your mind and stop kissing the behind of white Republicans and white Democrats and thinking that you getting ahead.
This must be time for the
the president of Boston University, John Silver, to make one point, sir.
Well, I want to say that I think the claim that there's no conscience among the white people in America is a great example of racism. I don't think the face of racism is any prettier of when it's black racism than when it's white racism. And I'd like to finish this. When Martin Luther King started his civil rights movement, he put his conscience before the American people and shamed an overwhelming majority of the white people by the strength of his moral argument. And the elevation of his moral argument was based on many of the things that he had learned from the individuals he cited in the letter from a Birmingham jail. Plato, Socrates, Jefferson, Augustine, Amos, Isaiah, Jesus. He recognized very well that he was fighting for the reform of a racist America on the basis of the views held by the dominant white society. And for that reason, he reached them and he's so transformed him that you could pass the civil rights legislation under Lyndon Johnson. And there is no
And if somebody wants, and more critical of the American.
You know, why don't you let me finish? If somebody thinks that you refute what I have to say, if you think that you refute what I have to say by pointing out that Martin Luther King was assassinated, I can point out to you that Malcolm X was assassinated.
That's not the refutation of what you're saying.
He was assassinated by a black man who hated white people.
No. Let me say this. Phil, I got to say this. Because we always go to white males to tell us what's happening. You see, let me tell you something. This is such a lie, crap. Because the reason why the United States, the only reason why the political leadership in the United States conceded to integration, conceded to civil rights for black people, is because the majority of the people of the world in the 1960s were ascending to political power and independence. And the United States could not claim moral leadership of the world and enslave black people in a system of Jim Crow. Right. So don't make like that Martin Luther King appealed to the better half or the morality of white America. White America did what was expedient politically.
Mr. Colvisall wanted to say.
I just wanted to say this. I have sat on panels on television 25 years ago and heard exactly the same debate between white and black and within the ranks of black people. And that underlines what's on my mind today. I mean, walking in the poor streets of New York and Chicago nowadays, looking into the eyes of these kids, I just think to myself, nothing has changed. So many years, so many lives. I know you like to end these shows on some kind of optimistic note, but I can't, I feel despair.
May I ask the panel to comment on this? Here's what I think is, you wanted to say, Professor West.
Yeah, see, despair is paralyzing. It is as bad as we know and you say. That's precisely why we have to do something. That's precisely why rage, as real and authentic as it is, cannot have the last word. We are people of hope. That's why we go to church on Sunday. That's why we party on Friday. That's why we come to these kind of little meetings. Because we've got to find some hope in this situation. And the hope is grounded in and looking at the situation for what it is.
Dr.
Rage is not a marketable commodity.
As we started this program, I said there's been a lot of growth and a lot of change in the way people of different incomes, African-American people, live in suburbs and cities. And there's a lot to build on. I think Cornel West is right. I think you're too hard on it. I think Tony Brown is talking about things that are happening and can happen and that we can build on. I 25 years ago, I wasn't a member, but I was a research director of the Kerner Commission. And I do not believe that things are worse. And I think we have a ways to go. And we've got to keep going. And I couldn't agree more with Cornell. Despair is not helping. Yes.
But I'll tell you what I do believe. If I get my gray hair entitles me to say that 25 years ago I presided over similar events. And I do see somewhat of a difference, Mr. Kozak. We were, in those days, more into great society. Oh, my God, look at the sins we've committed here. We're going to help you with white, powerful, wealthy America. Now I hear more and more young people of Sister Soldier's age bracket speaking out to say, we've got to do this ourselves.
If people get the impression that when you're an activist, that you don't also do business, that you aren't also involved in programs, that you don't also attend church, you can do all of these things and still see the savage inequalities and the evil of this society. And the reason why we speak clearly and fiercely and strongly about it is because if we don't, you have people suffering in silence who never get the opportunity to be on the you know, with Phil Donahue. Who never get, see, we can't look at the world as the mayor of Washington, D.C., or as Cornel West, the author. You see what I'm saying? You got to look through the eyes of the majority of your children, how they see the world, what they feel, you know, the pain that they experience, how they would, excuse me,
We are forgetting.
The evil is all over. Right now in South Africa, African people are in a system of
this
slavery.
This argument is the same.
Look at this dynamic. Understand this dynamic. You have a black man over here.
Yes.
He didn't cut nobody. No, let me understand. He didn't cut this guy off over here. He didn't cut him off. Talking about he walked through the ghetto. I live in the ghetto. You know, I will cut you off. Yeah. So now he didn't do that. You see, what I want you to understand is this: is that it's very important that when we speak, at least when I speak, okay, I'm going to speak the reality of black people who don't have a voice. There's no such thing as freedom of speech in America. Okay, and therefore, when this man could talk about building grassroots organizations and power bases, and Tony could talk about recycling programs, and not one of them could probably name one black political prisoner that's a consequence of trying to do those very programs. And then this sister tries to point out.
See, why you let you cut me off?
This sister tries to point out some very basic and fundamental contradictions.
These various factions would allow all of us
to
have a meeting, a talk. Why the anger? Why
you are intensity for hostility? Yeah. And what I'm trying to explain to you is that if there's no freedom of speech in this country, when you do get to speak, you speak the truth, you speak clear, you speak fiercely, and you don't care whether you like it or not. Right.
Angry Indian Radio. He is not only for Indians, but he is also for blacks and other minorities. And they have done a lot on the problems in Palestine and also the problems of blacks. And so I recommend that you listen to him.
Convinced that this nation is finally headed in the right direction. Our economy is growing again. We are adding jobs again. America's moving forward again.
President Obama wants $50 billion to create jobs for construction of roads, railways, and runways. Already, billions have been committed in new initiatives such as Social Innovation Fund, economic stimulus, and broadband. And hundreds of millions are going to border security. Yet, security and jobs for whom? Construction jobs mostly employ men, the new funding initiatives have principally benefited institutions and government, and border security seems to be for U.S. transnationals operating maquilas and those seeking to profit from the violence and poverty in Ciudad Juarez in Mexico. But what about security and jobs for women workers on the U.S.-Mexico border? Why invest in infrastructure benefiting transnational corporations and not in community-led development? For nearly two decades, first with NAFTA and now with the war on drugs, border women have seen their livelihoods, communities, and futures written off as unfortunate but necessary casualties by the companies they made rich, left to live and die amidst the underdevelopment of the border. Yet, women have refused to accept this fate. Organized, fierce, and resilient, they're pursuing their own version of security and employment. La Mujer Obrera in El Paso is one example. Through their daycare, restaurant, festival marketplace, museum, media center, and adult education programs, the women are creating genuine border security, real economic development. And they have extensive plans for additional development, including schools, housing, and health programs. Like La Mujer Obrera, there are other low-income women on the border who have the vision and drive needed to create spaces where cultural arts and grassroots microenterprises can flourish, restoring economy, pride, and dignity in their neighborhoods. Their efforts are the stuff that economists, feminists, and reformers tout as vital to build sustainable national security and development. Yet today, the women find themselves fighting their hardest battle yet, sustainability in the weakest U.S. economy in decades, and a future being designed without them. Local and national media have focused on border violence and security issues, but have missed the solutions that border women are ready to implement. Public-private initiatives need to prioritize border women's efforts to restore their communities from the damaging effects of international trade policies. As Gloria Steinem said when she visited La Mujer Obrera, there is no safe space for women. We have to create that space. We have to build that community. The conditions of women on the border are urgent, and women on the border are demanding justice and equity now. For more information, contact La Mujer Obrera.
तपाईलाई थाहा छ नेपालमा पहिलो पटक कहिले एचआईभी संक्रमित व्यक्ति फेला परेको थियो
थाहा छ सन् 1988 मा
यतिका वर्ष बितिसक्दा एचआईभी एड्स को क्षेत्रमा के भए सकारात्मक परिवर्तनहरू कति आए कसले के गरे
के हामीले आफ्नो जिम्मेवारी वहन गर्यौं तपाईले गर्नुभयो
जवाफ आफैसँग खोजौं जिम्मेवारी वहन गरौं
सामाजिक रूपान्तरणका लागि गगन गृहको एउटा प्रयास
This is Cindy Sheehan. George Bush, Dick Cheney, and others launched a war that took my son's life. Strong evidence suggests that in promoting the war, they lied to Congress and the American people, and that in conducting the war, they have targeted civilians, hospitals, and journalists, used illegal weapons, imprisoned without charge, tortured and spied on Americans without court approval. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Ask your Congress member to begin impeachment proceedings against George Bush and Dick Cheney.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Curious or confused? Get information or a pamphlet at most pharmacies or a health clinic. If you need help, see a doctor.
Hello, I am Susan Aglukkaq. The North has the highest incidence of sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, in the country. We also have a high rate of teenage pregnancies. High-risk behaviors, unprotected sex, lead to the spread of HIV/AIDS. It can be prevented. Learn the ways to protect yourself and others. Knowledge is power.
If you've seen most of this series, I'm sure you understand how the creation of two myths, two lies, produced much of the problems we face concerning black-white relations. For in an effort to create the myth of white superiority, Europeans, including European Americans, had to create the myth of black or African inferiority. The Europeans saw that only by claiming for themselves that which had been created by Africans, could they spread the seeds of black inferiority around the globe. And that they did with such calculated precision that they were able to get the African to reject his own skin, reject his own God. The negative indoctrination of black people by some white Americans reminds one of how elephants are trained. It is said that the elephant trainer starts off training the elephant by putting a large chain around the elephant's neck and pulling on the chain to make the elephant respond to different commands. The elephant trainer uses smaller and smaller chains to get the same responses he had obtained with the more cumbersome chain until finally he is able to use not a chain, but a string. The cumbersome and unwieldy chains of slavery around the world were thrown away after black people had been trained how to respond to alien commands. Many of us are walking around thinking that we have chains on our feet and minds, not knowing that a mere string is keeping us in check. This string is the myth of white superiority and invincibility. What happens when the elephant discovers that a mere string has been stretching between it and independent power? We should all look around ourselves and dare to step beyond the boundaries that have been set for us and our children. Thank you and good evening.
This is APNS Public Radio.
In here with me, I'll scare off intruders in my fatigues, black jacket, and army boots. My neck is red, my collar blue. I like it that way. I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way. Yeah, I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side, the only side.